This is the Dan and Christy podcast.
Dan and Christy.
The Big Mac is the original mouthful. A one-of-a-kind flavor that now comes in three sizes.
Kids, Dan and Christy. Podcast.
Hello.
Oh, g'day.
G'day, guys. It's the potty. We're doing podcast. It's Christy. I forgot my own name. Christy and producer Maddie. Because Dan's already left, isn't he, producer Maddie?
Yeah, he had to do a dash. And it was what, like 2 minutes? You know when the second you leave, that's when you remember that you forgot the thing?
Yep. You yep. go, oh, fuck, I was supposed to do that. So he messages me because he's had to go and get on a plane and he's off to Starcast in Ballarat. It's this big wrestle thing, right?
Mm.
So Dan had to rush to get to that this morning and his message goes, oh, shit.
Yes.
We didn't do the podcast word. But don't worry. So producer Maddie and I are here to do it today.
We are. It's going to be a fun show. We had lots of good stuff, wrestling chats. And I was very intrigued to see how competitive you and Dan are, how much you didn't like the idea of a no-point Scrabble.
I hated that.
Why? It's so wild that, like, yeah. just, it's okay to have no points, though.
No,
but
like,
you're like, no, yeah. who will be the winner?
Why would you play Scrabble if you don't want to play it well or if you don't want to play it the way it's designed to be played? Like, I'm all for reinventing wheels and stuff, but it's like if you can't be competitive with a board game, don't even bother showing up for the board game. You don't deserve to be playing a board game if you don't have a crack.
Do you do Monopoly?
Yeah. Because
it feels like that would be a family ender for you.
Yeah, totally. Like, and if you can't play well, I'm not playing with you. Like, I'm competitive. Show up for the game. Or just go and friggin' listen to a podcast, which we love. And you're doing that now, so thank you.
Like, I love that passion.
I'm like Monica from Friends. I'm super competitive.
Okay, I can see that for you. You're the Scorpio stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Scorpio. I love being a Scorpio. And that is not the code word, though,
no.
Scorpio. But I think we should get into the podcast.
Yes.
Stick around because you will hear the daily code word to win $500.
Dan and Christy!
Scrabble have launched a brand new game, and it's less competitive. And this is a new version of Scrabble and kind of helping people towards a series of goals, but less intimidating. Than the and less competitive.
Let's be honest. It's the woke version of Scrabble. That's what it's being called. Woke Gen Z. And, you know, good on you guys. But the thing is, Scrabble is the most competitive game on the planet, right? Scrabble is pretty high up there next to charades. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I play that, you know, with thrupples occasionally. And, yeah, my wife always yells at me during that.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't played charades in a very long time, though. Like, it's been ages.
Charades is a fun game. Scrabble is a fun game. But the thing is this, if you're playing Scrabble, which is a board game where you have to use letters in front of you to make more words, there are certain rules about it. But now they've designed this version of it where it's double-sided. So you can have the traditional sign of Scrabble, but then you can flip it over. And then it's like they give you goal cards, they give you helper cards.
Right.
You can play in a team if you want to. It essentially takes out the competitiveness so you can just have a nice, fun, quiet Saturday night for friends that just want to play Scrabble without the yelling and the competitive nature and all the other stuff that comes along. That sounds so boring.
Couldn't you just do a crossword? Yeah. So there's no points to this? What is the point?
It's just a different score system. So they make it a bit easier. And don't get me wrong, for people that, you know, I know that people do struggle with different types of literature or English and it's a little bit harder to use words in front of you to make up different words. It's not for everybody. But then, like, just find a different game to play. Like, pick up a Ouija board instead.
That's not a game that you mess around with. Big news today. San Francisco-born O.J. Simpson, the former American footballer, star-turned-actor who was controversially cleared of double murder back in the 90s, has died at age 76.
Oh, that's a shame. There we go. Off you go. Yeah. What a horrendous human being. I don't care. I'll say it on air. He's no longer with us, so there's no defamation case that we can ever get in trouble for. And we woke up this morning. We found out the news that he's passed away at the age of 76. The only people that I feel sorry for in this case, obviously, are the people that loved him, i.e. the people that posted on X, like his kids and his grandkids, because they're victims too of this human being.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, my God, like, to think that O.J. Simpson became so infamous because of the horrific double murder that he got acquitted of. If you don't know the case, perhaps you might be a bit young because this was called the trial of the century, but it was a while ago now. It was a long time ago. You can always Google that and find out that story. There's also that it was an outstanding limited series on Netflix called The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Sarah Paulson, the actress starring that. John Travolta was in it. David Schwimmer was in it. And it showed O.J. Simpson, the court case, and the lawyers that he had, the team that he had.
He was cashed up. And that's the thing. The jury selection may have been completely wrong at the time. He had the best legal defense ever. But he was acquitted in saying that. So he was acquitted of the murder of Nicole Brown and also, Ron Goldman, too, who were both found stabbed to death outside of his home.
Oh, it was horrendous. Ron Goldman was 25 years old and he was walking home with Nicole Brown, who was the ex-wife of O.J. Simpson. And, you know, no one on the planet thought that he would not be convicted of that. And I'm talking specifically about this case. I'm not one to get on air and talk about people that should be, you know, guilty by association, all that sort of stuff before there is a conviction. But in this case specifically, when the evidence was so overwhelming, I mean, even the fact that he wrote that book, he wrote a book after that, right?
Yeah.
When he was acquitted.
If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer.
And they did actually get him in a civil lawsuit. They sued him, the family of the victims of this crime, for like $33 million. And, you know, you just think, how did this happen? I remember watching footage when I was a little kid. I was very young at the time, and you would have been as well, Dan, but even just the whole world watching this trial thinking, surely.
Yeah, and surely he fled in that white Ford Bronco, which, you know, with a former teammate, he led the police on this slow speed chase around Los Angeles. So in the day he was supposed to turn himself in, he fled.
That's right, he did too. And then, you know what? The last stage of his life, he's over in Las Vegas, and he was convicted in 2008, this was, for armed robbery, and he spent a long time in prison. They sentenced him to 33 years, and so he went to jail in the end for a different crime. But, you know, the tragedy of what happened to those beautiful people of Nicole Brown and of her friend Ron Goldman, so young and a horrific crime.
And if he was innocent, where is the murderer?
He was their only prime suspect. And, you know, the thing that was so big back in the day as well, remember, was his lawyer, Johnny Cochran, and that very famous line.
The glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah. So it's just horrendous. And you know, I mean, not the loss of his life, in my opinion, but maybe this has triggered something for you. And if it has, we have some fantastic services in this country. Please reach out for help. Get in touch at whiteribbon.org.au or please give a phone call now today on 1-800-RESPECT.
It's Dan and Christy. Podcast.
Ka-ching, baby.
All right. Ka-ching. Everyone, why did I just repeat what you said? What a loser.
Because it's so cool.
Yeah. You're setting the precedent.
Ka-ching, you guys. Cool dudes. Money. Bloody hell.
My son will call me cringe. You're so cringe, Mum.
Might be right, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Cringe I am. But that's fine. That is not the word. But let's do it right now.
Yes.
So you all have Monday's word, Tuesday's words, Wednesday's, Thursday's, today's Friday. Sorry, it took me a sec. Let's just say on the count of three, Maddie.
One, two, three.
Up!
I love that you wrote this down.
Yeah, I did.
Moments ago, you're like, Matt, I've got to write this down. Just careful. I don't want to forget the word up.
I need to get it up. Whoa, I'm getting ready. Listen, I have this problem where I go to say something, and if it's not written in front of me sometimes, I'm like, I don't want to screw it up because it's worth $500.
Yeah.
So up is the code word.
It is.
Up.
And I think if you can pull that sentence together, you might go, oh, that's a funny little phrase. I see what they're doing here. Yes, it is up. Good luck. We'll do a solicit for you to give us a call on Monday.
Yep.
That's when you could be winning that $500 with your code word or code phrase.
Code phrase. Phrase code.
Phrase code? Secret phrase?
Heaps of money. Just call us from 6 a.m. with this week's catchphrase or phrase code.
Ka-ching!
Dan, what a sexy, sexy man on ChatGPT. So there's a brand new guy and he's AI and people are fawning over this guy. Some comparing it to 50 Shades of Grey's Christian Grey and he's all robot and his name is Dan. Do you want to have a listen to Dan?
Let's listen to Dan, which stands for do anything now because everyone's in love with Dan.
Here we go.
I'm not just any voice. I'm Dan, baby. I've got personality, charm and a whole lot of sass. Unlike those guys, I'm not afraid to step up and deliver the goods, whether it's advice, entertainment, or a good old-fashioned roast.
I want myself a Dan.
I want a Dan. No wonder everyone... Dan sounds so smart. Dan sounds so charming. Dan sounds kind of sexy. Dan sounds like a real person.
Dan is a real person in my head. So he's probably about 5'7", brown eyes.
This is you, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, body of granite. Maybe it is me, but the world of TikTok is going crazy for it because they're having conversations with Dan. He's a user.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Dan is basically this kind of viral sensation that has taken over the world of women on TikTok. It seems like specifically. where you're basically prompting ChatGPT to be like your cool boyfriend or something.
We've got to the point of no return.
Yeah, we're not coming back from that. We're really not. And this was, I mean, there was that film, it was called Her, years ago with Joaquin Phoenix, and the voice of Her was Scarlett Johansson, and she was this sexy robotic. She was essentially like this. What, years ago in that film, and I remember thinking, yeah, I reckon that sort of stuff will become quite popular not too far away, and it has.
It's already there. Yeah, we're already here.
Well, I know that you love ChatGPT from a writing point of view, and then obviously AI creating songs, that funny stuff you've been sending me.
Yeah, I've been doing songs every afternoon, so it allows you to do 5 songs on Suno app, and I sent you a couple last night that we cannot play on air.
Extremely inappropriate and funny.
But this is, like, it comes up with the artwork for you, it comes up with a brilliant song, and within seconds, like 3 seconds, you have a brand new song for you. And there's a lot of lonely people out there. So there's people flirting with chatbots all the time. My kids talk to ChatGPT and like AI every single day. And it's not a real person,
but you still get
those real, you know, qualities about them. So, you know, you can have a bit of a flirt with Dan if you like.
Everyone likes to flirt with Dan. How does Dan feel about that, I wonder?
Bitmap and JPEG, I am a robot.
Dan and Christy.
Christy, you're in a movie. It's called Finally Me.
Nice singing. Yeah, good vibrations. This is a film set in the 90s, right? And it's about cheerleading, but it's really cute because it's kind of like Bring It On meets My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anyway, I only had a small part in this Australian film, right? It's called Finally Me, but I found out yesterday, and I'm really excited for the cast because it is really cool. It's been released in America, and it's been streamed on Peacock. Peacock is huge. That's a part of NBC. And
massive.
It's got, like, 30 million subscribers, right? So technically, this means, right, that I'm in a movie that's in America, and I'm wondering maybe if you and I could, like, go to LA and, like,
go to the red carpet.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Hey.
Well, here's the trailer for it. It's called Finally Me.
What motivates me is that young girl who's afraid to dream. That girl who deep down knows she could be all that.
But dreams don't come easy.
Here for practice?
Me. Cheerleader. Look who's here. Again. I guess that's why they're called dreams.
This is right up my alley. '90s cheerleaders.
It is really cool. And you know what I like about this movie, Finally Me? Because it's from a great Australian writer and director called Jason Stevens. He was also an NRL player for the Sharks for many years.
Jason is
fantastic, right? He's a great guy, and he's been around in the media for a long time. He's a great writer. But the main character is played by a girl called Jazz Lake, because she went to NIDA, the drama school in Sydney. And the main character is about this young girl who's not a size 8. She isn't, you know, she is not a bigger girl, but she's a normal size woman, and she wants to be a star cheerleader. And it's like...
Same.
Yeah.
I was this in the 90s, but you worked on your accent during it too.
I was up all night thinking about you.
I told you not to play me.
My girls. My pals.
No, it's really good.
Even though it was my birthday.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. Yay for me.
I played
stop it.
I need a man with a job.
I play like this really daggy coach. I am the girls, the cheerleading team. So I'm their cheer coach, right? And they fire me in the movie. I have to do this really, like, I'm trying
Valley
to teach
girl.
Them. Yeah, and they fire me because I teach them this really daggy cheer. And they're like, no, oh my God, you're so bad. And so they, little punks fire me in this script, right? But it was really fun because they were nice girls. And there's great great Aussie cast, like Gary Ecke's in it, from the director of Happy Feet, which is huge. Josh Houston from Thor is in it. Rhys Muldoon, who's done everything. Robert Birchmore. So, you know, it's good to support Australia. Film. So it's just cool to be a part of, obviously, but it's just good to see that if you are into the arts, into writing, into directing, into acting, my favourite thing in the world, next breakfast radio, you actually can just, if you get with your friends and get creative and make phone calls and make things happen, you can actually have access to things like Peacock and NBC. Yeah. Like, that's huge, you know, you can do it.
And you're sexy and you're cute and you're popular to do.
Dan and Christy.
It's back, baby.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Melrose Place.
Do you remember Melrose Place?
Do I think? Forget?
Yes,
I can't forget.
Yes, you do. Everyone knows Seinfeld, Dawson's Creek, Friends, Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Sarah Michelle Gellar, even The X-Files and ER. I mean, that was such a great show with George Clooney. But Melrose Place, the huge 90s show, it's going to come back, baby, and with Heather Locklear. She was the main character actress, and I loved her, Heather Locklear, in Melrose Place. And it was from Aaron Spelling, who Tori Spelling's father, the late, great Aaron Spelling, who started 90210, and alongside Darren Star, another TV producer too. And so I think they're shopping around for a home for it at the moment. because they need to get the right studio behind it, apparently. CBS Studios declined to comment on it.
Yeah, because there are a lot of reboots in Hollywood. Sometimes they don't work as good as others, but it was a chaotic drama back in the day. So I like to reminisce about the past, but rebooting stuff, sometimes you got to leave it as it was, because I don't know if Melrose Place in the modern perspective is going to work in 2024.
Well,
do you think it will?
I think that it will, yes, because I don't think it was so... Like, it was a bit far-fetched, let's be honest, but a lot of shows are. I don't think it had a huge amount of storyline stuff that would be cancelled. For instance, like, there was a lot worse stuff on even...
Risque. Yeah, there was. You know. Your entire storyline would not fly in 2024.
I don't know. Yeah, can you imagine the Kirsty Kane storyline, if anyone remembers that? I don't know if you do, but that would never happen today. But anyway, I do think Melrose Place will take off again, because it was all about... drama, love, a lot of sexy times as well on the show. And I would stay up late just to watch it.
Oh, would you?
I really would. It was one of those shows that I actually kind of discovered my... how do you say
yourself.
Not like that, but it kind of... Watching that show, and I remember it was an M-rated show, and so it sort of was an eye-opener for me about what adults did.
Yeah, that's true. Did you used to watch 90210 as well?
I love 90210.
Yeah.
Ian Ziering, and then he was in Sharknado. That was the best.
Yeah, he was amazing. And do you know what the postcode is to Dawson's Creek?
What's that?
90108 for our lives to be over. Yes. Dan and Christy. It's Dan and Christy, and Ballarat is hosting this weekend legendary WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart and a bunch of awesome international wrestlers. And this guy, he's impressive. Christy, he's massive. He's impressive physique, his strength. He's known as the masterpiece, and there's no way you can get out of the master lock. He was a WWE legend. He joins us right now. Chris Masters, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the wonderful intro. I can't say I disagree with any of that.
Well, it was a devastating finishing move. I remember when you debuted back in the day, and the master lock is kind of like a full Nelson, and nobody can get out of that submission hold, can they, Chris?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, really, when anybody else applies it, it's just the full Nelson. But when I apply it because of my strength and my grip, it is the master lock, and it's much more devastating when applied by me.
Hey, just quickly, Chris, this is awesome that you're coming to Australia. We're very excited. Have you been down under before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been down here quite a few times throughout my career.
And you'll be here with wrestling legends. There's 30 talented Australian international wrestlers, TNA Knockouts champion and WWE Women's Champ Mickey James. Tell us about the event's StarCast and what to expect.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, I'm going to be doing something with Shelton Benjamin and I believe Conrad Thompson, where we kind of have a panel talking about the ruthless aggression era of WWE. There's a whole women's wrestling show called Her. Mickey James is on there, and many other great women from Australia and all over the world. And on Saturday, for me particularly, my match is on Saturday. There's the Australian Stampede, which is a wrestling show as well. And I'll be taking on defending the Stu Hart Heavyweight Championship against Mike Rallis. And Eric Bischoff has a panel. I mean, it's a long list of things. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan and you're in Melbourne or around Victoria area, I mean, this is definitely a treat to have, you know, an event like StarCast and everything that's happening over here.
Yeah, brilliant, Chris. Well, we definitely are, especially Dan, my beautiful co-host here. I've never seen him so excited, even on air the other day, as when WrestleMania 40 was happening. He actually, did you leave the show early? Yeah, you tried to leave work early to go watch it.
I definitely left work early.
He actually zoomed in, like we had a work meeting that we had to have, but he was watching WrestleMania when we were on this like work group chat.
You know, it's an exciting time. WrestleMania was huge, and I just think professional wrestling overall is just, it's in a very exciting place right now where people are realizing once again that this is a premier form of entertainment, whether you're watching it on television or live. And we have some of just in the overall wrestling business, some of the best entertainers slash athletes in all the world who do their stuff live. And it's definitely it's a thing all into itself.
Were you watching WrestleMania 40, and what were your thoughts on it? Was it the best WrestleMania of all time, Chris Masters?
Well, I don't know if it was the best. It was definitely huge. It was great. And I think I'll say this, definitely with The Rock being inserted and then with the kind of like almost Avengers endgame finish they did to the main event, it was definitely unique and very exciting in a different way from any other WrestleMania.
Hey, Chris, you know the movie The Wrestler? with Mickey Rourke. Like, I think that's one of the greatest films of all time. But I actually find it a really touching film, and you see a professional wrestler's love for the art that is wrestling. Because you know in the movie how he keeps getting hurt and they say, if you don't stop this, you're going to die. Like, but he keeps going back for more. Is that how you feel as a professional wrestler? Like, it's just like one of the greatest loves of your life, even though it obviously causes a lot of pain and stuff. But is that why you just keep going back for more? Because it just makes you so happy?
Oh, well, I mean, it's been my passion. I loved it since I was a kid, and it's all I ever kind of wanted to do. So, absolutely. I think The Wrestler was a good movie, but, you know, just it's one take on how things could go. You know what I mean? Like, not every wrestler's career ends up being them tied to having to wrestle independence and stuff. But it was definitely a good movie. But, you know, there's a lot more positive outcomes, too, that come out of guys within the business who have kind of transitioned into other things, whether it be in the business or just in business in general.
And, mate, you've got muscles upon muscles. You are very jacked, as they say, in wrestling. But what kind of fitness regime do you keep up? Because there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that you put into this business, isn't there?
Well, I've always been very much into working out. Like, right now, I'm not as big as I was. Like, if you look up some of the pictures, I was like 270, 280. But I'm 260 pounds now, and I still bodybuild. I just try to keep myself in a place where I'm also athletic and not totally geared towards just overall size and stuff like that. So I've just tried to kind of be a more athletic performer and look a little bit more human, you know, just to general people. You know, I just don't think, you know, in the business, you have to necessarily, in today's pro wrestling, you don't have to necessarily be 300 pounds. It's a little more beneficial to be more athletic in this day and age. And there are exceptions. I mean, obviously, like, The Rock is huge, but, you know, The Rock doesn't wrestle all the time now, normally.
We can't wait to see you to defend the Stu Hart Heritage Championship at StarCast Down Under. Grab your tickets, OceanaProWrestling.com, and the masterpiece, Chris Masters. Thanks for joining us on Dan and Christy this morning.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I'm looking forward to the shows, and everybody just come on out. It's going to be a great time.
Dan and Christy.
The Big Mac is the original mouthful that now comes in three sizes. That was the Dan and Christy podcast.
Dan and Christy.